Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, shine your light on this, God's Word, that we might see what you would have us to see, hear what you would have us to hear, and do what you would have us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And verses 13 through 17. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is found on page 206. Listen now for God's word for us for today. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Would the children like to join me up front? Good to see you. You know, this time of year we had Halloween. And Halloween, we think about spirits floating around and ghosts and so forth. It's kind of scary. But we also have what's called All Saints Day. And last Sunday, we read out some names of some people who had passed away that are no longer with us. And it's natural for us to be sad when somebody that we care about, we don't see them anymore. But you know, one thing that Jesus tells us is that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when he says that, he doesn't say used to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are some guys who are in the Bible long time ago and have passed away. But he says they are. He is the God of those, which means they're living with God. And that's what Jesus assures us that people we love that we don't see anymore are living with God, because God is God of the living. That should give us assurance, make us feel better, knowing that God is the God of the living. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God of the living, that you care for us, and that Jesus prepares a place for us to go when we pass on. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
I'd rather us than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second, and the third married her, and so the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture from the Gospel of Luke is the third of three encounters between Jesus and the authorities who are trying to trap him into answering a question that will allow them to arrest him or otherwise turn the people against him. The context is Jesus and his disciples have entered Jerusalem in triumphant fashion on what we've commonly called Palm Sunday. Shortly thereafter, Jesus cleansed the temple, throwing out the money changers. The authorities are getting nervous that the crowds who are in Jerusalem for the Passover are going to riot, and Jesus might just be the provocation that will start the riot. They believe the peace and order of Jerusalem would best be served if they can get Jesus to answer a question that would cause the people to turn away from him. First, they question Jesus about his authority for doing the things he is doing. Jesus cleverly turns the question back on them, asking them about John the Baptist, who was very popular with the crowds, and whether he got his authority from God. They refuse to answer, knowing that whatever answer they give will inflame the crowd because they had not recognized John as a prophet. Likewise, Jesus refused to answer their question because they were putting him in a similar box. They wanted to accuse him of acting without authority or claiming God's authority in a form that they could call blasphemy. Secondly, they tried to trap Jesus with a question about the authority to tax, knowing that whatever answer Jesus gave, he would either be claiming disloyalty to Caesar or disloyalty to God. Jesus asked them to produce a coin. They show him a denarius, which was a Roman coin that had the image of Caesar on it. In one of the most often quoted passages of the Bible, Jesus tells them to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Having failed to trap Jesus with a question about authority and a question about taxation, they seek to trap Jesus with a question about the law of Moses. Again, it's clear that they do not really seek a real answer that would change their minds about anything. They're seeking to trap Jesus into saying something they could call blasphemy or heresy. Interestingly, Jesus does not evade this question, but gives them something to ponder about the nature of God and the nature of life with God after death. These are questions that are on all our minds around this season of All Saints' Day. We wonder about our loved ones who have died. During this time leading up to Veterans Day, we wonder about those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in freedom for this country. It's natural for us to wonder what happens after death. Will we see our dearly departed ones again? Will we be reunited in the afterlife? Does love persist even after death? Singer, songwriter, and blues artist Eric Clapton wrote his song, Tears in Heaven, after the tragic death of his young son. He wrote the following: would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Would you help me stand if I saw you in heaven. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart, having you begging, please, begging, please. Beyond the door, there's peace, I'm sure. And I know there'll be no more tears in heaven. End quote. The Sadducees in our story today were not as poetic as Eric Clapton. They were not seeking for truth. They were not grieving the loss of a loved one. The Sadducees were the power elite in the temple of Jerusalem. They were the priests who emphasized the importance of observing temple religion and all the rules that they had been laid down by Moses in the first five books of the Bible. The Sadducees did not find evidence of the resurrection in the Bible, in the writings of Moses. So they did not believe in resurrection. Today's scripture begins with a reminder of the Sadducees' belief. The answer they knew even before they asked the question. They had already decided what scripture said, and even before they asked Jesus. The question asked Jesus sounds very strange in today's culture. And in fact, would have been strange in the culture of Jesus in his day, outside of religious circles anyway. In the law of Moses, there was a practice called levirate marriage. We know that this practice was recognized in the time of King David's grandmother, Ruth, because it's mentioned in the book of Ruth. That practice was that a widow who'd not had a child by her dead husband would be married by his brother in order that the dead brother might have heirs. The reason for this rule was the continuation of the tribe. Now, it's important for us to remember that the marriage they were talking about is not the marriage we have today. Marriage as practiced was a property transaction. The parents of the woman would give her in marriage, and that they arranged that marriage with the parents of the other spouse. The contract often involved payment of a price, and the goal was children who would continue the tribe. Levirate marriage continued the relationship to the brothers of the man and helped ensure that widows were taken care of in an age when there was no social security. Scholars tell us that levirate marriage was no longer practiced in the time of Jesus. The Sadducees were asking the question not because the answer made a real difference, but because the logic they presented made the idea of resurrection absurd. If a woman had married seven brothers, and if they were all resurrected and reunited in heaven, whose wife would she be? Jesus first clarifies that life after resurrection is not like life before resurrection. A woman in the concept of levirate marriage was treated as property, and that is not true after resurrection. Having children is a pre-resurrection value, not a concern in heaven. Concern with death and who survives is a concern before resurrection, not after. There's no need for such rules after resurrection. So to put it in today's context, marriage today is also a concept that's designed for life together in this finite world. Our family values and our love relationships are God's gift to us in today's world. When we move to the unlimited realm of God beyond this life, we no longer have the need of finite love relationships. That's not to say that we will not recognize and will not love the ones we've loved here on earth. It's to say that love will expand beyond anything we understand here on earth with our finite, limited relationships. Speaking of heaven, That reminds me that after the LSU-Alabama game last night, both Coach Nick Saban of Alabama and Coach Brian Kelly died and went to heaven. St. Peter takes Coach Saban to a small efficiency apartment and says, "Here are your new accommodations." Coach Saban says, "You mind if I tag along while you take Coach Kelly to his new place?" St. Peter says, "That's fine," and they set out. And as they're walking, they see a large mansion on top of a hill with LSU banners hanging from the balconies. Coach Saban says, "Now, wait a minute. Why does Coach Kelly get a great big mansion and all I get is an efficiency apartment?" St. Peter says, "Nick, that isn't Coach Kelly's house, that's God's." Jesus gives the Sadducees a glimpse into what heaven is like. Jesus, who is God incarnate, gives us a look at what God is like. Jesus is God in a form we can understand in our finite existence and gives them and us a glimpse into eternity. Jesus addressed the question right out of the scripture they recognized, the writings of Moses. Jesus reminds them that Moses had written that God spoke in the present tense. God told Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Not the past tense, "I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob live, and God is God of the living. As you recall, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were ancestors of the Jews and had been written about by Moses in Genesis. They lived over 1,000 years before the time of Jesus and approximately 400 to 600 years before the time of Moses. The death of each of them had been written about by Moses. For Moses to say that these men were living was to say that there had been resurrection. Jesus was using logic that the Sadducees would respect, because Jesus started with the scripture they recognized. It is possible to find scripture which, when taken out of context, can justify almost any position imaginable. This is particularly true when it comes to theology of the end times, called by theologians eschatology. However, when we consider any doctrinal question, we should start with what we affirm about God and what comes from the lips of Jesus. First, Jesus tells us that God is the God of the living. These are words from the lips of Jesus and therefore carry more weight than other scriptures that might cause us to worry. Jesus tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are living, resurrected beings. Jesus assures us that he goes to prepare a place for us. Jesus, who demonstrated resurrection, assures us that we will be with him in paradise. Second, the scriptures teach us that God is love. Any conclusion that is inconsistent with a loving God who is willing to die for us in the person of Jesus Christ is a bad conclusion. We can trust that we are in the hands of a loving God who is God of the living. We can trust that our dearly departed ones are also in the hands of a loving God who is God of the living. We can trust that our resurrected life will reunite us with those we love in God's perfect love. While we idealize marriage and the romantic and family relationships we form in this life, we know they are not perfect. We know that the rules we have to live by in this age will not apply in God's time. We know that, as Eric Clapton says, there'll be no more tears in heaven. Or as John says in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.'" End quote. So if you don't believe Eric Clapton, believe the Apostle John. So what do we do with today's scripture? We live with the assurance that rules that govern us in the world where death still exists will pass away. We live putting our faith, our hope, and our lives in the hands of our God, who is the God of the saints who have gone before, and who is the God of the living. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we come to the table that the Lord sets. This is not First Presbyterian Church's table. This is not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table. And the Lord invites everyone who seeks Him to come. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these Your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with Your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that You will fulfill Your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in Your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all Your saints in the joy of Your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So on the night of His arrest, Jesus took bread, and after having blessed it, He broke it. And He said, "This is My body broken for you. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup, and He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in My blood. As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until He comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Will the servers please come forward? This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Holy One, we have tasted your goodness and savored your bounty. You have quenched our thirst and filled us with good things. We pray that your life and love in us will overflow, filling the earth with your justice, joy, and peace. Now that we have been fed, may we be bread, feeding your hungry children. Amen. Now please rise as you're able and turn to the Nicene Creed in your bulletin and let's say what we believe together. What do you believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 510. We gather here in Jesus' name.
Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. Amen. Please.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, God our Savior. We pray for the church. Make us ready for the coming of the Lord, when your church will be gathered together to worship you in glory forever. God, our Savior, we pray for our communities. Hear the prayers of those who cry to you for justice. Show them your great faithfulness. God, our Savior, we pray for the world. Shake the foundations of this world so that the power of evil will crumble. Grant us peace and harmony. God, our Savior, we pray for the earth. Restore the splendor of your good creation. Make us good stewards of your bounty. God, our Savior, we pray for loved ones. Surround them with your steadfast love. Guard them as the apple of your eye and hide them in the shadow of your wings. God, our Savior. Merciful and mighty God, as you are one, make us one with you through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to redeem us, and in whose holy name we pray. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 443. There is a Redeemer.
Oh, holy one.
having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Live with the assurance that rules that govern us in the world where death still exists will pass away. Live putting your faith, your hope, and your lives in the hands of our God, who is the God of the saints who have gone before us and who is the loving God of the living. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.